listening to Hungry for More, an Epicurean's Dilemma, and I'm your host, Trish Close. Ali Romero on the podcast today, and this conversation is really just a couple of food nerds nerding out big time. Ali is a food blogger, private chef, also known as the Dinner Fairy. I love that. She's made a few appearances on TV cooking, and now she's officially a cookbook author. Gas Fire Heat is available for pre-orders, so hop online and order this cookbook. Ali was born in New Zealand. Dad's family is from New Zealand, but she's lived all over the place, Hawaii, Northern California, Sonoma County. She's now in Texas, and she says really all of these places have influenced her palate. Also, Dad helped with that a little bit. He would ask in the morning, "What's for dinner? What do you want for dinner?" And they'd find themselves in the kitchen cooking together with a glass of wine. Come on. Amazing. Ali started her culinary journey really shortly after her dad passed in 2013. And then from there, she started her blog. She says she really wanted to share all of this information and knowledge with everybody else. Then came some TV appearances. The Chew, remember that show? Good Morning America. Have you heard of that show? And then she was on The Great Food Truck Race on Food Network. Her team was the Meatball Mamas, if you watch that show. After that, it was this idea of what's next? What do I do now? That's where the cookbook comes in. She spent the last 2 years working on this cookbook. For Ali, it's really her love of cooking stretches beyond the kitchen. For her, it's all about sharing all of this knowledge, her passion with others. And I can get on board with that. Here's Ali Romero. I wore my sparkly shirt today with my sequins on it because I have a feeling, and I think I'm correct, you're very sparkly.
Oh, thank you. I try to be sparkly. Yeah, I, thank you. That's such a nice thing to say.
And your kitchen. Oh, can we talk about your kitchen for a hot second? Actually, first, let me introduce you, Ali Romero. Okay. Then we'll get into the important stuff about your kitchen. All right. You are a food blogger. You're a private chef. And officially now, officially, you are a cookbook author.
I am.
Boom. Gas, boom. Fire, heat. It's out, right? For the most part?
Should I?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I have one author copy. Here she is. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Oh, yes. It publishes May 14th. It's been 2 years in the making. I mean, obviously a labor of love because this is really exciting. And to have something that's now, you know, going to be published and distributed is just like, I can't wait. It's almost here.
Oh, it's brilliant. Congratulations on that. We're going to talk a lot about the cookbook. Let's get back to your kitchen really quick. Okay. We were building our house in 2016 and I overloaded Pinterest. I was like, give me all the kitchens. I need all the inspiration. Is this something that you designed yourself or did you move in? This is how the kitchen was?
I would love to say that I designed it, picked out every single aspect, but I did not. So we just moved into this house a little over 2 years ago. So as of December, it was 2 years. So just a little over that. And they had taken this house, I think, just completely down to the studs and built onto it. And so luckily, because it's not always the case, right, that you buy something that's been remodeled where you're like, I didn't pick that, but I would have picked that. And so we got lucky in that regard because the whole house is we didn't have to do anything except furnish it.
Well, I love it. I love the kitchen. I love the wine fridge back there. I love the Subway tile. I have Subway tile.
Yeah, the wine fridge gets a lot of use back there. That's so our friend.
So does mine. Yep. Do you have like a spreadsheet or something and you know where everything is?
You know, we had an app that we were using for a while, but then my husband said it like changed. And so it's kind of a bummer because it was really a lengthy process to like catalog because we moved all of our wine here from California we moved. So we cataloged all of it and like took hours to like input it and then they changed it. And I don't know what we're using now, but some sort of system.
You just open it.
Maybe that'll we just pull one out and look and say, no, too young. No, try the next one until we hit one. We're like, okay, that's an acceptable year to drink.
Perfect. And I don't know what it is about Subway tile in kitchens. Gimme, 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 gimme.
Ah, I mean, just kind of that classic look, classic. Right?
So clean, so classic. Yep. Ali Romero, where are you from originally?
So I was born in New Zealand. I have dual citizenship and then have lived in a number of places. So I lived in Northern California with my mom, like Marin County area, which is in the San Francisco Bay Area. Then we moved to Hawaii for 7 years. So I lived in Hawaii for 7 years. She left, she wanted to be somewhere warm. So lucky for me, right? Yeah. And then we moved to Sonoma County, so a really small town called Sebastopol, which is where I went to high school. I went to college in San Diego and then missed kind of like the seasons of Northern California a little bit, like where you'd have trees at least changing colors and all of that. And so I moved back up to Northern California, met my husband, and then we lived in Danville, which is like the East Bay area of San Francisco Bay Area for the last, I don't know, we've been married now almost 24 years. So it's got to be somewhere between 25 and 30 years we lived in that area. And then now we've been in South Lake, Texas for two and a bit years. So that's kind of my you from answer.
So New Zealand, I know, is wine region, grape growing region. Sonoma, obviously, yes. Hawaii, rich with food and culture. I feel like all of these stops, Northern California too, all of these stops and places that you lived really kind of set you up for being the food nerd that you are.
Yes. And I love that you said food nerd because I am totally a food nerd. But yeah, I really believe that where I'm at my point in my life right now and just kind of like my culinary style, it's like that was one of the hardest things kind of over the years of what's your culinary viewpoint? What sets you apart from other people? And it's like, it's me. I'm me. Like, you know, it's such a hard question to answer. And I think that that is exactly the answer to that question. When I think about it, it's the places I've lived, the places I've traveled. I always try to take cooking classes whenever we travel places, just because like, I know how to make guacamole, but like, I want to know how you make guacamole or ceviche or whatever it happens to be.
Totally.
So I feel like it all contributes to like your palate, the flavors, the cravings of like, okay, I want to try to come home and recreate that. All of that is now kind of who I am as a chef and everything that's kind of in this book.
Yeah. I'm from South Carolina and it's so funny because we get together and all we talk about is food. But we'll sit down and I'll say like, you know, to my Uncle Randy, and I've got to do the Southern accent because it's not a good story without it. But I'm like, hey, how did grandma do her pot roast? And he's like, well, she did it like this, but I like to put some beef broth in mine. And like, we all are sharing different variations of the same dish. And it's just super fun. So I totally get that. And I love coming together and meeting new people and that whole thing of like, yeah, you make your guacamole this way. Here's how I make it. Let's make two side by side and then go to town.
Exactly. And there's so many ways that you can just change one ingredient or add a different ingredient or change a cooking style and totally elevate it or just bring something new and unique to it.
Yeah. So all these moves, I have to ask though, why New Zealand?
My dad was from New Zealand. So my dad and his whole side of the family were from New Zealand. And so they just wanted me to be born there so that I could have dual citizenship. So my mom and dad lived there until I was about two. And then that's when the move to Marin County happened. So I didn't live there a whole lot, but I have been back to visit. We would go back, you know, like once every 5 years. And then the last time we went back was I lost my dad in 2013. And so we actually took all the kids to go see him. So that was the last time that we were there. But it's an incredible place.
And he-
I saw my aunts, uncles.
Yeah. Your dad was from there?
He was, yep.
Okay. Was food important growing up?
That's a great question because I feel like, so my dad was also a food nerd and he also loved wine. And so I kind of followed in his footsteps more than my mom's. My mom always cooked us dinner, but I was telling somebody the other day, like, I don't remember what I ate.
Yeah.
Like, I know she cooked things. Like, I know there was like roasted chicken involved. You know, she cooked and it was always good. And, you know, but she wasn't into it. She wasn't like you said, just being like a food nerd where you're constantly wanting to learn more. And, oh my gosh, I haven't tried that. I need to try that. Or I haven't made that recipe. Like, I want to try it. I want to know how to do that. And so that really came from my dad. So he did cooking, like just kind of self-caught, like on the tugboats in New Zealand. And so he did cooking in that regard. So it was a combination really of kind of learning from him, watching Food Network back in the 90s when it was like, you know,
when it was good.
It was like everybody was teaching you how to cook, Bobby Flay, Giada, and learning so much and just kind of being a sponge. And then when I lost my dad in 2013, decided like, I want to kick this up a notch. And so I went to culinary school to really develop my knowledge and just to see what I could learn that I hadn't picked up from those other places before.
Yeah. I read this on your website that you dad would ask first thing in the morning, what do you want for dinner? And right. you're like, which is not weird to me at all. That's what we do right. in my family. Right. And then you guys would end up maybe cooking together, having a glass of wine together. And I love that so much. I think that's so right. incredibly important.
Yeah. Yeah. It was amazing. And now our son asks that, you know, like in the morning, it's like, mom, what's for dinner? And so it's like that thing of my dad's that kind of lives on and it warms my heart. And it's just kind of a part of him that will always live on. And especially in the kitchen.
Do you think your dad's did your dad's death lead you to go down this path, this culinary path, or did you already have kind of decided that?
I think it pushed me. Yeah. I think that I was always interested, and we would cook together at night with like a glass of wine. It just became more of like an experience together instead of just like eating out of necessity. You know, he always said like, there's two kinds of people, like you either live to eat or eat to live. There's my son.
Hi kid.
You know, definitely in that category of like living to eat, and that's where, you know, he and I kind of fit in with that. And so I think that it pushed me because I was interested mm-hmm. and I had the desire, but then I wanted to keep that going. Like I was like, what can I do to kind of, you know, I didn't want to just let it die with him. No. Like I wanted to keep it and see where it could go. Just kind of put it out there and see what would happen.
What do you think he would say, looking back on all of the successes that you've had, which we'll get to, we're going to talk about them. What would he say, you think?
I think he would be so proud. It's hard because, you know, you always wish, like, as you get further and further into your life, you wish that the people who are not there to be with you to like see all the things that they know that you've worked so hard for. So I know that he would be so proud, and I think he would be amazed. I mean, I think that he would be really surprised from cooking together in the kitchen, you know, dinner over a glass of wine to putting out a cookbook and kind of everything in between. I think that you know, he would be proud.
Absolutely. Sure. What was his name?
Michael.
I'm gonna write that down. So let's talk about your culinary journey. When did that start?
So that was in about 2015-ish, somewhere in there.
Okay.
And again, that had been after like, you know, 20 years of just kind of cooking for fun, just because I got married and we had kids and we needed to eat. And it was like eating out of necessity of like, you know, if we're going to eat food, we may as well make it good. And so that's when I decided to go to culinary school. And that's when I started taking the classes that I really helped with, like, push me into the, you know, I knew how to cook for five, but it's like, how do you cook for 200, or how do you scale things, or how do you do things in a different, with a different method?
Sure. Were you cooking during this time? I mean, did the family or did friends, if you had friends over for dinner, were people like, Allie, you are an excellent cook? Did you hear that a lot?
Yeah, I think that, you know, you get that a little bit along the way, and like, that's what you need to hear to keep on going. I mean, my husband is so appreciative and grateful. And I think that that's part of the reason that I do what I do, is that if he was not into it, or he was just like, oh, whatever, it's all right, I don't think I would do what I do. I mean, I think that you need to have people around you who are, you know, not stroking your ego like overboard, but just like every once in a while are appreciative and like, oh my gosh, this is really great. Like, you know, you can taste that you put a lot of love and effort into this.
When you went to culinary school, was it one of those things where you're like, oh man, I fit here really well? Or was it like, let me get in, get out, do my thing?
I was there with like a bunch of 20-year-old kids. So I had already had, you know, I graduated from University of San Diego with a mass media communications, you know, degree and a business and French minor. So I had already done that. And this is definitely like my second chapter. So I was there with like a bunch of kids. There were a couple of other ladies that were like similar age to me. So I wouldn't say that I was necessarily like in my element, but I mean, it was fun. And it was like, we were all there with the same goal. So, you know, and it was a bunch of people that all loved food. So I think that kind of brought everybody together, no matter what the age difference is.
And you started your food blog in 2016?
Yes.
What was, I guess, what encouraged you to do that? What was the reasoning behind, let's start a food blog?
So that really was like, some of that was what I'm learning in culinary school. I mean, I've always just thought, share it. Like, why not take what you know and share it? And then you know, blogs at that point give you a way to do that where you can like put it out there. You know, I mean, I have a couple of friends who are like, oh no, that's my like great grandmother's secret. Like I don't give that to anybody. And I feel like I'm just the opposite. Like, yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, I made this and it tasted really good. And I want you to like taste how good this tastes. Like, mm-hmm. like join, let's do this together. So I feel like I'm someone who more, you know, just wants to kind of put it out there. And all of that really happened within the things that kind of came along the way were really just a result of just putting it out there and seeing what happens.
Yeah. I think I also love that sharing aspect of someone who's like, I'm not, you know, the kitchen's a little intimidating for me. And I'm like, it doesn't have to be. It's actually really simple, and kind of training, teaching people like it's so easy to make really good tomato soup and a grilled cheese sandwich.
Right.
And
right.
I love it when they're like, Trish, I tried your recipe for blah, 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 and it was so good and it was so easy. And I'm like, mm-hmm, see, I told you.
Yeah, I saw your website. I saw the things that you were cooking. I was like, wow, this looks like really good stuff too.
Oh, thank you. definitely not a chef, but I love to cook. I just love to get in the kitchen. And I was going to ask you this, your style. My style is very, really simple. Like I don't go crazy with ingredients. I just, right. If you have really good, high quality ingredients, just let them kind of speak for themselves. What's your mm-hmm. cooking style, you think?
Yeah, I think it's more on that, you know, as far as like a realm of like not overly complicated where you're using things that like you have to go to their store and buy 20 ingredients that you don't have. It's more things that you're going to have and maybe you have to pick up a couple of different things. But yeah, that's more my style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very home, like home cooked meals, like just something mm-hmm. that's very nourishing. It hits all the spots. Like that's the kind of food I like.
Yeah. I mean, you can taste the difference, mm-hmm. right? And do you feel like you can taste the difference? Like when you just feel like somebody just kind of like threw it out there, you know, like okay. So here's a good example, right? Like chili. Do you ski?
No, I don't do anything cool.
No. Okay. Do you go to the snow or?
I love the snow. Love the snow.
Okay. Chili. Well, I was going to give the example of like chili at like a ski lodge,
yes.
right? Like where you go and you stand in the cafeteria line versus like home cooked chili. Like
yes.
It's chili, but there is a very distinct mm-hmm. difference in the level of flavor in that chili.
Yeah, 100%. And for the most part, I feel like you're this very same way. We go out to eat a little bit, but not a lot because sometimes I'm like, I can make that just as good at home.
Right. Yeah. That's where it gets tricky, right? Where you're like, do we go out for steak or am I just going to like, you know, sous vide it and sear it and have a delicious steak at home with a bottle of our own wine?
I know. You know? I know. When you get to that level where you are a pretty decent cook and a great cook, yeah, going out to eat is a massive disappointment.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel
yeah.
you.
Yeah. You have to think about your favorites for sure.
Yeah, exactly. How did this food blog evolve? Because obviously it did, because you were getting noticed, right? Mm-hmm. What's the name of your food blog?
It's just my website.
Just
it's
your website.
Just Ali Romero. Yep. And then it's just Let's Get Cooking, but it's Ali Romero.
Yeah.
And really that came about because we were incorporating at that point, because I had been on Great Food Truck Race and Food Network. And so it was kind of to say like, who are you? You know, yeah. like I had a PR, you know, person at one point, a publicist say to me, like, I'm looking at your website, but like, who are you? And it was kind of hard to hear, but at the same time, it was great advice because sure. I had to figure out, you know, if I explain to somebody, you know, who am I and what sets me apart from everybody else who likes to cook or how am I different?
For real. So you were on Food Network like before the blog started or about the same time?
After that was actually the most recent. So that was in 2020. So started out really with You on the Chew was back when the Chew was on.
Yeah.
During the day. Okay. So that was on like, I think ABC.
ABC.
So I was contacted randomly by a producer who had just seen something I think that I had posted like on Twitter. I mean, it was
what?
Like, yeah.
That's so rad. I always wonder, I feel like that is certainly a level of success when some producer from some cool show is like, hey, we like your stuff. You want to be on our show? Like what?
Yeah, I know. The funny thing is like I've auditioned or like, you know, put in applications for so many different shows.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find is like, they find you like when they just find you.
Interesting.
I don't know how they do it. I have no idea what the method is. So I just keep putting it out there, right, and then see what happens.
You keep putting it out there. You just keep putting yourself out there in the universe 100%. So the Chew contacts you. This was in 2018, right?
It was in 2018, yes. So this was a couple years after my blog had kind of been going.
So they contact you. Was it like, I'm assuming like email, were you just like butt clench moment? Like what?
Yeah, it was actually back before like all the robo spam calls. And so it was a call from New York, I believe. It was somewhere where I didn't know anyone, but I was like, it's New York. Like maybe I should answer it. And I think it was the producer who was, you know, was on the other end of the line. And then at that point, and the funny thing, the other thing I've learned about TV along the way is like so much of it is very last minute. So he called me and said, and I remember that I was like on my way to go pick up our kids. So it was like 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And he said, so if you want to do this segment, like we'd love to have you. We think your carnitas, like I did these street tacos that were like lightened up in lettuce cups, like as a, instead of a tortilla option. They're like, we think this would be like perfect to do. Oh no, it was the street tacos. That one was the street tacos. Mm-hmm. It was the You on the Chew recipe showdown. They said, we need your street taco recipe. We need photos of you. We need video of you saying how you're going to take down the, smack down the competition. And we need it all by midnight tonight.
Oh my gosh. Seriously?
Yeah. So at our old house, and it was February. So it was like pitch black by 5 p.m. So I had like one kid on like a ladder holding a light, me in the kitchen, my husband filming, getting so annoyed because I only had to say like so many things. And every time I was like, oh my God, I forgot to say where I'm from. Oh my God, I forgot to say how old I am. Oh my God, I forgot to say I'm going to smack down the competition, whatever it was. I'm like, do it again. Do it again. We must have done it like 50 times. I think Anyway, that was the first one.
That's awesome though. But then you were on the show.
So that was like a virtual like competition. So it was my recipe versus another viewer, Chef Michael Simon, Carla Hall. You know, they made it, they tasted it. And so I like won that competition as far as like recipe was concerned. And then it was after that that then Good Morning America happened.
Yeah. Okay. Hair flip. After that, it was Good Morning America. So tell me that story. How did that happen?
So that was another one. That one I think I actually tried for. So that was where one I like, you know, they said use this hashtag and they were trying to look for healthy dishes. And that was the one where, again, it was so funny. It's like once you make something that people like, all of a sudden, like you can't escape it. So it was, again, like a street taco, but like in a lettuce cup. And so they said, we think that this will be perfect. And so so we were going to do that, but that was one that then they said, they called me last minute and said, we've changed the segment. It was with Jamie Oliver, or Gordon Ramsay. Actually, there are two that I was supposed to be on and then ended up canceling last minute. So I was like, this is never going to happen. And it was then Father's Day weekend. So now fast forward to like June and the producer called me and she said, does your husband cook? And I said, absolutely. Yes. What do you need? What can I do? So she said, we really want you to make, this was an apple cider brined pork tenderloin with a mango salsa and some like crispy Brussels sprouts with pancetta. So she said, we're going to have you again. This is like a couples cooking competition to promote Aisha Curry's new show, Family Food Fight. It was Saturday of Father's Day weekend. We would be leaving at like 4 a.m. on Monday. We took all the, we took the kids because we were like, this is once in a lifetime.
Yeah.
We packed everybody on JetBlue and flew out to go do that show. And then we won that one too, which was really fun. So the recipe won that one too. It was
amazing. Yeah. And that was, didn't you, I think it was on your website. Gordon Ramsay was there.
He was not. That was the one I was supposed to be on that they changed it to like someone who had just come home and needed like to find something quick and didn't know what to do, like help me. And they're like, if anybody Googles you, like they're not going to believe that that's you. So they had to like change the segment. But anyway, it all worked out. We ended up on Good Morning America eventually.
Was it a little surreal being there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really cool. Yeah. It was amazing. I mean, just to see everybody who you see on TV every day and everybody who's so, you know, nice. Michael Strahan was there and Lara Spencer. I mean, it was actually her birthday that day. And we were still in the green room, like waiting for that. They said, do you want to take the trophy? It was like a 24-inch gold with like veggies spewing out of the top. And they're like, do you want to take this with you? And at first I was like, no, it's okay. And then my husband was like, no, we're taking that with us. So we're going to walk through JFK with that. So we did. We got a lot of conversation started that way, but it was her birthday that day and we were still in the green room. And like, she walked in and her first reaction was like, oh my gosh, you have to stay for cake. It's like people, when they have that reaction, when they're not expecting to see you somewhere, but then they have that like such warm reaction to you. Like, I will always just think of her in such a high light, because here we were kind of like imposing on her like little company Christmas or a birthday party. And sure. We were just feeling like, okay, we need to leave now.
Well, it's insight into her character. 100%.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Your husband sounds like an amazing sport.
Yeah. He's great.
Yeah. Like, he's just like, let's stay up until midnight and shoot this video. Sure. I'll be on Good Morning America with you. Sure. Let's go. Yeah. Let's do it. He sounds like a yes guy.
I know. Well, it's great because he knows how much it means to me. I mean, he works and travels extensively and, you know, he's out chasing his dreams, and I completely support that as well. And I think that, you know, him being supportive of like these opportunities that come up means so much to me.
Absolutely. So Food Network then came after Good Morning America.
Yes, that was another roller coaster ride. So we had been cast for a season. They didn't tell us which one. They were casting for 2 seasons of Great Food Truck Race. And so we had our team, we had our theme, like we didn't know where we were going, but we knew we had been selected. And this was in February 2020. So we all know how this ends, right? So,
oh, no.
So everything shut down, producer calls, and this was a call from Burbank. So I always know if it's like Burbank or New York, I'm like, all right, there's a good chance I'm going to answer that call. So she said, it's been put on hold. We don't know when it's going to start back up again. So like, don't call me, we'll call you. And then it was 7 months, you know, I'm in California. It was completely, completely shut down. So it was a very long time. And then I was sitting on the couch. It was like one night at 7 p.m. and the Burbank number came up and I was like, maybe, just maybe. And so I answered the phone and she said, we're back. So if your team is still available and interested, like, we're ready to go. Do you want to go somewhere warm or do you want to go somewhere cold? And I said, I would love to go somewhere warm. And so she said, great. You're going to Alaska in November.
What?
Yeah. Perfect.
Wait, perfect. For real?
Yeah. So okay. We went to Alaska. It was in October, but yeah, because it had been whatever that was, February, March. Yeah, it had been all those months. And okay. So it was like within 24 hours, we were on a plane. We were arriving in Anchorage and we were filming Great Food Truck Race in the snow. And we showed up with like, you know, these California girls were like, we've been to Lake Tahoe. We've got like jeans and some cute boots. And we lasted about 24 hours until we went down to the outdoor goods store and like bought some ski gear. And I mean, it was in hats. It was cold. Like, someone ended up with like hypothermia on her ear. It was freezing.
Oh my goodness. Who was your team? Who was this team that you went with?
We were Meatball Mamas. So I was the team.
That's
captain.
Right. That's right.
Meatball Mamas. It was season 13 in Alaska. And then Flora Landre, my good friend from Danville, and Jocelyn Denson, who I went to culinary school with. They were my team, and we were really proud. We made it to the top four. I mean, of course we wish we would have won, but it was the most amazing experience. And given the option, like between either, like if it had been LA to be the warm place or Alaska, like hands down would have chosen Alaska. It was an experience I'll never forget.
So Meatball Mamas, I'm assuming you made meatballs.
We did. We made meatballs. There was another ball theme truck. you'll see if you watch the season, but anyway, there couldn't be two ball themed trucks, so we sure. Then kind of more meatball heavy rather than just ball related, so we were meatballs, and we tried to like cook other things, but you know, meatballs and meat, especially in Alaska, like a lot of those ingredients are expensive and that all comes out of your pot. So
yeah,
so yeah, but it was amazing.
One thing about me, Allie, I love meatballs. I love them. They're fun to make. They're fun to eat. They're fun to say. You know, you can have so much fun. Be like, I'm cooking up some balls tonight. And there's so many. You can do Italian. You can do Asian. You can do, I do a meatloaf meatball, which I think is so fun, right?
That's
with like
cool.
Mushroom gravy. Like, it's just different. It's fun. Yeah. Meatballs are so fun. I love meatballs.
Yeah. What's your favorite?
Probably like a classic Italian, like a pork beef mixture with really simple. Like I don't like a meatball that has a bunch of breadcrumbs in it.
Okay.
I think it's just a little too heavy, but I just love a classic good Italian meatball.
Yeah. So we made chicken parm meatballs. Yes. That was like our specialty. The problem with that, again, is like Alaska, right? There's not ground chicken in every grocery store. Like I was used to like rolling up to the butcher, being like, give me 2 pounds of ground chicken, like no issue. It did not even cross my mind that there might not be ground chicken at all grocery stores everywhere we went. So so they kind of morphed into different types of meatballs, but yeah. It was.
What do you put in your chicken parm meatballs?
I make them really similar to my beef, meatballs. So I do ground chicken, I do panko, egg, obviously like salt, pepper, garlic, either onion powder or like really finely chopped onion. Mm-hmm. And then dried, like a lot of dried herbs, like dried Italian herbs and parsley and then parm.
Yeah. Yum.
Almost a lot. Parm. And then I finish. So we cook them that way. And then we finish them either, you know, we didn't have an oven, but we would, usually I finish them like in the sauce and then put the, you know, the mozzarella cheese on top to get nice and melty, or like ooey gooey as ever, you know, ooey gooey. So we would finish it and then shave some more, Parmesan over the top. Yum. And yeah, I mean, serve it in a roll, serve it with potatoes, serve it with a salad.
Serve it with a spoon.
I mean, just serve it in a bowl.
Right.
Yep.
Yum.
Good to go.
I love grated onion in meatballs with the juice.
Mm-hmm.
Like all that. Cause it just, I feel like it's kind of a game changer. And my meatloaf meatballs have lemon zest.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Little hints of freshness in there. That's a good little tip.
Cause it's pretty, I mean, meatloaf can be a little heavy. So just like lighten it up a little bit. I love this. I love the Meatball Mamas, and I love that you were, would you say Alaska was a little bit out of your comfort zone or no?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We were out of our comfort zone. So to give you an idea, so I did not drive the truck. My friend Jocelyn, bless her, she drove the truck, but we had challenges where we were starting a fire with like wind coming at us, like with flint. Okay. Never in my life have I done something like that. The first challenge, like we had to break open this ginormous, like solid cube of ice to like get our truck keys out. So we were like chiseling away in an ice. I mean, yes, to ask if I was out of my comfort zone, I was 1000% out of my comfort zone, but like, that's where you also have the most fun. And you also just kind of like laugh at yourself, right? I mean, it was just kind of silly stuff, but it was so much fun. And I'm sure it made for great TV, you know?
So I know you love to cook, but it feels like you also love a good competition too.
Yeah, I am very competitive. I do love competing. I mean, if there were any other cooking show that I could do again, you know, I would love to do that. I love to compete. I love to just kind of, you know, focus in and try to win. Yeah.
I did a little, it was like a cooking competition, like a local thing with local chefs. They paired personalities with like local, like people who actually know how to cook. So, and we had to use cheese, and we made a croque madame but I did like a blue cheese sauce, and the chef who I had admired hugely, he said, I could swim in that. That's the best blue cheese sauce I've ever tasted. And I was like, oh, hair flip. We've got this. We're going to win.
Yeah.
One of the judges didn't like blue cheese.
Oh no. Ugh.
I'm like, you shouldn't be a judge. I'm sorry.
Dagger to the heart.
Like, yeah. I mean, as a judge, shouldn't you have an appreciation for all foods if you're a food judge? Come on.
Right. Yeah.
I was very disappointed. We lost. Yeah. Failed miserably.
That one judge.
But I'll tell you, it really, I don't like competitions like that. I had butt sweat and pit sweat. I was so nervous the entire time. I was like, this is so much pressure. So I think it's very commendable that you do these competitions, not only the competition, but then also, hey, we're going to put it on TV as well.
Yeah. I mean, I love it. I think it's so much fun. Like, it's just kind of like an adrenaline rush, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. But you, you guys made it fourth.
We did. Yep. We finished fourth. So, you know, we thought afterward of like the things that we could have, should have, would have done, yeah. But we were proud of ourselves and we could honestly say at the end of the day, right? Like we did everything we could do. So it was kind of one of those things where, you know, of course you always have hindsight, but like in that moment we had worked really hard. It wasn't like we slacked off in any way. So we, you know, from what I remember, it was kind of a close call. Yeah. So, it was good. It was good. I want like a rematch.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Did you see things come out of this after, you know, Good Morning America, The Chew, now Food Network and this, you know, the food truck race? Did you start to see things come out of this?
I kind of feel like that's what led to the cookbook, which was the next step. So, just being able to say that you were on Food Network, you know, I feel has like helped a lot just with my private chef business as well. So that's something that I'll always have on my resume, which is amazing. So I think that kind of led to the cookbook. It just gives you like that next level of like credibility that like, you know, you're not just blogging about it. Like you actually, you know, you're just kind of taking it to the next level.
100%. I was going to ask you about, you still work as a private chef, right?
I do. Yeah, I do. I do two different like facets of it. So I work for one family, like a few nights a week, and I make dinner for their family. And then I also do special events, which I prefer to do like dinners between like 10 and 20 people is kind of my wheelhouse. And, you know, those could be milestone birthdays. Those can be corporate events. You know, they're usually special occasion birthday parties.
Love it. So I guess the folks who hire you as a private chef, is it really just, you know, families who have zero time to put together really healthy, yummy dinners? Or is it just those who are just like, I don't know what I'm doing in the kitchen, help me?
I think it's both. Okay. I think it's like, you know, you either love it or you think it's a chore. And so the people that don't love it, that are just kind of like, I really don't want to deal with the grocery shopping. I don't want to deal with like the prepping and the cooking. I just want to like, I don't have the energy. You know, if people are working full days, like I get it. I mean, who wants to work until 6 p.m. and then come home and be like, what am I going to eat? Yeah. So I think it's a combination of all of those things. I think it's not having the desire or the time to do it. That's right. The dinner fairy. I'll just be the dinner fairy.
Oh, I love that. You are the dinner fairy.
Dinner fairy.
That's so perfect.
And then Poofy disappear.
That's great. I always say, I do like a cooking, I'll auction off myself for some local organizations and come to their house and cook for them. And we have like a little party and drink wine. And typically I'm like, they're like, this is so fun. And I'm like, yeah, it's great for me. I'm going to come make a mess in your kitchen and then I'm going to go home. See you later.
Right.
So I've interviewed a private chef before and he has hilarious stories about very wealthy couple in New York City, you know, and here he is, all the things in front of him. He can make whatever their heart desires. And the husband, all he wanted was Hebrew National hot dogs on a bun with ketchup and then like canned beans.
Wow.
That was it. Okay. And and his name's Adrian Martin. He actually was a chef on Below Deck for a season.
Yeah. Yep.
He's fantastic. He actually lives in my neck of the woods now. So funny. He was such a great interview. But he's like, are you sure I can, you know, I can make some special like hot dogs from scratch? You know, and the guy was like, nope.
Yeah.
So he's just like, okay, like all of his talent really is, you know, in a pot of boiling water and you throw a hot dog wiener in there. Without too much disclosure, do you have any of those stories?
I mean, I've cooked for all ends of the spectrum, but I will say that like most people have like things that they just won't eat or that they just prefer to eat. And yeah, I mean, it's the same kind of thing where you're like, I can do all these things, but yet they want what they want to eat. And at the end of the day, that's why they've hired me, is to like, so what I just try to do is like, okay, well then I'm going to make the best version of lasagna or whatever it is that I can possibly make for you, because, you know, I mean, I can do it, but yeah, it's just, it's, why try to make people eat something they don't really want to eat when they're paying you to cook it for them? Like, may as well just make them happy and make them what they want. Yeah. Right.
And we had a good laugh over it, obviously. You know, you have this incredibly wealthy man who just wants Hebrew National. And I was like, I love hot dogs. Like, I don't care what people say, hot dog, that's just one of my favorites. So I was like, I kind of get it, you know?
Yeah.
I kind of get this dude. I feel him.
I mean, I think you like what you like, and especially adults, when you reach a certain age, like, you know, you're kind of set with like, okay, these are the things I like and these are the things I don't like, and maybe I'll try some new things, but like, I don't really want to venture too far from that. Like, I just kind of want to eat what I want to eat. And that's how I kind of feel. Like, I feel like I bring the restaurant to my clients. So whether that's their home kitchen or whether that's for like a party, or the other night I did like a wine pairing event for a winemaker. It's like, instead of going to a loud restaurant where you can't hear each other, you're in the comfort of your own home, let me bring the restaurant to you.
Brilliant. I love that so much. Let's talk about the cookbook. Can we see it again? Can we see her again, please?
Yes.
She's so pretty. Gas, Fire, Heat. This is your first cookbook.
It is.
You said 2 year. Yes. Oh.
I just opened to a picture. These are my.
Yum. I love a cookbook with pictures. Give me all the pictures.
Every recipe has pictures.
Please.
Single recipe.
Please.
Even the sides. Greek salad. What do we have? Every single recipe. Elote salad.
Yum. These are all yum.
Get back to like the main attraction. There's the pork tenderloin with the mango salsa that was on Good Morning America.
Stop. It's famous. See,
sharing with the world.
It's your famous pork.
More chicken tacos, chicken street tacos, like all kinds of things. Chicken on the Traeger with a summer succotash. Yum. But like not super overly complicated, but just yummy food. Like just good
Sign
flavor.
Sign me up. Sign me up. I love yummy food. So this idea came out of, I mean, you said after the appearance on Food Network, were you really just like, I'm gonna write a cookbook. Yep, that's what I'm gonna do.
That was a conversation. Well, it was kind of like, what's next, right? Like I'm always thinking, okay, what else can I do? What else can I learn? What else can I try? And I think, you know, I lost my dad, and then I just lost my mom like 2 years ago, right after we moved here. And I'm in my 40s, and you just kind of think like, why not? Like, what can I do that I haven't done? And that I want to accomplish in this life. Like what can I do? Or, I mean, it sounds kind of morbid in this case, but it's like, you know, I have something I can like leave behind one day. Hopefully that day is a long time now, but I have something that is like permanent that I'm leaving. And, that was actually a connection. I know a couple of people who were on, Next Food Network Star. So that was kind of like, again, Instagram, social media, you know, like, hey, I saw you just wrote a cookbook. It looks fantastic. I bought it. Do you have any advice for somebody who might want to write a cookbook one day? And I kind of just started asking those questions and gathering information. And then it became like a warm introduction to, you know, that person's publisher. And then it was like, okay, how do I kind of put this together and make this happen for me?
Do you, I'm assuming you identify more as a cook than a baker. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you cook from the hip, or, because I'm assuming you're not a recipe follower?
No.
Okay.
No.
So,
And I used to be, I think everybody starts off that way. And then it kind of just became like that's how you tweak things, right? Like that's how you kind of make them yours. And, you know, like your lemon zest and your meatloaf meatballs, right? Yeah. Like, that's like your little thing. So, I cook definitely off the cuff. Like writing this, it was a very tedious process as far as like, okay, even measuring like down to the salt and pepper, because usually it's just, this is how much.
That's what I was going to ask you, because my kiddo is like, hey, how do you make your, you know, fill in the blank? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I have to really sit down and like brain cramp. Like try to measure everything out. Was that, obviously it sounds like a really big challenge in writing this cookbook.
It is, because, yeah, I mean, you kind of taste and add along the way. So it's making sure all those measurements are correct. And then, you know, but I always had notebooks. So leading up to the cookbook, I had notebooks. Some people journal. I wrote down recipes, or at least recipe ideas. So then I would write on it like either it's great or needs work or whatever. And then I would either like add it to my website, like in the recipe section, or like I have a ton that I haven't even added yet. And then thinking that if I did, which I would love to write another cookbook one day, and maybe it was an indoor cookbook. Like I've got kind of like, I'm not trying to recreate the wheel. Like I have a whole, I have like books of recipes that of course need to be retested and tweaked, but like the ideas are already there.
Yeah. And I think that's a big for recipe developers. You know, it's you come up with this great recipe and you Google it and it's like, wait a second, it's right there. And you have to understand that, like that, you're not reinventing the wheel, right? And it's just like, there's room for everyone.
Right.
Everybody's invited. So all recipes are invited. And I think that's fun too, when you're looking up something like, I want to make this, and you kind of look at four or five different recipes and then you take what you want and make that your own.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because there's so many great ideas. You know, I mean, it's like simple things like one of my favorite ingredients that I add into like a lot of either Mexican dishes or like just something where I want that kind of like underlying smoky heat is to add like a little bit of like chipotle and adobo or like a little bit of the sauce.
Yeah.
You know, the chipotle is like the dehydrated jalapenos. So, you know, you add a little bit of that into your chili and top it with cilantro and all of a sudden you have like, and some lime and all of a sudden you have more of like a smoky heat type of chili instead of just like a standard, you know, chili. Or, you know, it's just like I said, sometimes it's just a couple ingredients that you can really kind of change it.
So this cookbook, all the recipes are really based on like grilling, smoking, that kind of vibe.
Yes. So basically anything you can cook inside, you can cook outside.
Beautiful.
And vice versa. So like for somebody who either doesn't grill or use a smoker as much, like 400 on my Traeger is 400 in your oven. Or, you know, if you don't want to grill out at a grill because you live in Michigan and it's January, you can use like an indoor griddle pan and you'll get the same results. Like it's the marinades and the sauces and the seasonings. I mean, you know, so it really is versatile in that way. But yes, it is an outdoor cookbook, and really to kind of encourage like women, hello ladies, like there's no reason that like the men have to go out and do all the grilling. Like it's not, like you said, it's not super complicated once you learn how to do it. Like don't be scared of it. Like it's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And bonus, you don't mess up your kitchen.
right.
Your stove stays clean. That's my favorite thing about grilling season is that I never turn on the stove. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely love it. Where can all of us find this fabulous cookbook?
I'm so glad you asked that because I'm learning now that apparently pre-orders are very important and very like, you know, appreciated by authors because it all goes into that whole like thing of where it's getting picked up and all of that. So it is on Amazon, Target, Barnes and Noble, pretty much Walmart. I just saw the other day. So like anywhere online where you can order books. If you Google it or you Google my name, it will come up. It's being, you know, it's through Abrams. So it's also there. And it can be, I mean, Amazon, it can't be easier than Amazon. You can, you know, order it in 30 seconds.
Love Amazon. Labor of love. Kudos to you on this fabulous cookbook. And then it's being released when?
Officially? May 14th.
May 14th.
Yeah. So around Mother's Day, but great Mother's Day gift, great Father's Day gift, great Memorial Day gift. I don't know, 4th of July. What else can I throw in there? Any sort of outdoor grilling season.
Your publicist or your PR person's giving you some really solid tips.
That's me.
Oh, good. I'm the same, right? I used to do the news and they're like, who does your makeup? And I'm like, me. Like, who's your publicist? Me. Yeah.
Wait, am I supposed to have all these people? I don't.
No, you don't need all those people. I think you're doing all right all by yourself, Allie. Your dad would be so proud of you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I miss him every day, but it makes me feel good to like have turned this into like a second chapter in my life where these different things have kind of come about. And I'm excited to see, you know, where it goes. Like I said, everyone says like, what's next? And I'm like, I don't know. Like I'm along for the ride like you are. I'm just kind of like putting in the work and, you know, the kids see that like, yes, I've been called for shows that like I don't always get, or sometimes they work out and sometimes they don't. It's like you fail and then you just keep going because you can't let that get to you, you know?
Yeah. And the first thing I thought of when you showed me the cookbook, I thought, what a beautiful gift for your kiddos.
Yeah.
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 It's really special. Really, really special. Well, again, congratulations on the cookbook. I've interviewed so many of you. I know it is a labor of love-ish, right?
2 years. 2 years in the making.
Exactly. Exactly.
From start to finish. Yep.
We're going to wrap up and get to the final three, which I did prep you on. Best advice you've ever been given.
So best advice, I think, is probably like a couple of different things. So when I did meet Aisha Curry, she said, just keep on keeping on. So that is always something that kind of I held on to. I don't know what else she said to me when I met her, but I do remember that she ended with that. And I think that that is like so important because, like I said, you have the ups and downs, the yeses, the noes, but like you just keep going. And then the other piece of advice is you can always hire your weakness. So in that case, like I will bake, don't love to bake, but like I have lots of people who I can call who like really love to bake.
Yeah.
So, or technology, who can help me with my, you know, all my technology questions, because that kind of stuff drives me crazy.
Mm-hmm. You and I both had some tech difficulties this morning on this this interview. I love the keep on keeping on. Like Andre DeShields said that the top of one mountain is really just the bottom of the next. So keep climbing.
Right.
I just love that idea. Like never stop. Never stop. Right.
Yeah.
What's your happy place?
Anywhere near the beach. So we just got back from Grand Cayman, actually a couple days ago, but like anywhere near the beach with like the crystal blue waters and the, I mean, or Hawaii, because that will always be like a special place in my heart. But every time I'm near the beach, like, you know, I'm happy. My soul is happiest near the water.
Amen. We just got back from Key West.
Oh, nice.
Ugh. It was our first time there. And it's just, there's something, especially with the ocean, there's something very magical. Yeah. About the ocean. In all things food and drink, mm-hmm. What do you crave? What always sounds good?
Mexican food. So like, this was not a hard question. It's like the first thing that came to my mind. I think that I could eat Mexican food daily and never get sick of it. But like really good carnitas with like a spicy marg. Like it's gotta be spicy. And don't give me a wimpy, no, I want some heat. I want tahini on the rim. I want it on the rocks. I want a little bit of a burn from the peppers. Like I want the heat. I want the tacos, guacamole, the salsas, like all the things. Like you can leave the rice and beans, but like give me all the tacos and the spicy marg.
You are a woman after my own heart. I'm very, very similar. I want spicy. Like I want my lips to be burning 30 minutes after I eat it.
Yeah. Right. Flavorful burn is good.
Yeah. I love that. Ali Romero, you've been so fun. And I'm really glad I wore my sequin shirt because you are 100% sparkles.
Oh, thank you.
You're the sparkly dinner fairy. That's you. That's you. Once again, Ali Romero, author of Gas, Fire, Heat. Hop online. Buy it today. Buy it for yourself. Buy it for your mom. Buy it for whoever. Buy it as a gift. There it is. Love it. Thank you so much. You have been so much fun. And once again, congrats on the cookbook.
Thank you so much. And thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
You've been listening to Hungry for More, an Epicurean's Dilemma with me, Trish Glose. You can watch this podcast and subscribe on my YouTube channel. Just search Hungry for More, an Epicurean's Dilemma. You can also listen and subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts.